Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, July the 12th, 2016. This is hour 317 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And before we get started, thank you, James, from North Wales, Pennsylvania. We all appreciate you paying to host the hours on the internet so people can listen to all of them. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello, welcome back. We just started rolling real fast, didn't get a chance to say hello or too much any at all, but last week Michael talked about a blue sphere he saw in the sky, and you even said it was 2 to 3 feet in diameter. Mm-hmm. And 200 feet off the ground, was a bit darker blue than the sky, wasn't faded, had its own luminescence, changed to fireball orange, then winked out. Well, I guess I can start right. Let me start right away with an email I received the other day, and it was somehow cut off, her name's Dana, and she sent it today, and I'm glad it's here. But anyway, I'll even read this beginning. She's writing because of Blue Sphere email, and she writes, I haven't had time till today to try to reconstruct an email, and have been mysteriously self-edited the other day. So below is my attempt at reconstruction. Hello, also Curtis, thank you for your email response. I'm not sure of your response whether or not you were able to see the small blue sphere that appeared in the photos. Boy, I sure did see those spheres. I'm sorry I didn't say it right out, but anyway. She continues, it appears in the middle of the photos about half to a third of the way between the sun breaking through the clouds and the top of the buildings. These photos are taken from Sheep's Meadow in Central Park West towards Central Park West, or looking west towards Central Park West. Could you let me know if you're able to see the orbs, and thanks. Additionally, Curtis, I was in the park the other day after I sent you the first email and took another picture of some clouds facing in a more northeasterly direction, and another blue orb appeared. This one appears in the lower left quadrant of the photo in a shadowy part of the cloud. I haven't figured out how to get my photos into my computer yet, so I will send this latest photo to you in a separate email from my phone. Please know that I have taken many photos of cloud formations, and it is only these four that the blue orbs have appeared. I would love to know what Michael thinks about them. And then she writes, here is my reconstruction of my interrupted email of the other day. Hello, Curtis and Michael. I've been a regular listener for about 2 years and have very consistently had remarkable synchronistic experiences as I listen. What I mean is that I will frequently, and in quotes, virtually every episode, find myself pondering things or reading words or having very recently had conversations or thoughts that then get repeated, often word for word, by Michael in his wonderful wandering discourse. I have regularly considered writing you to recount to you some of these remarkable patterns, but as the list has grown, I've just settled in to enjoying them on my own and waiting for some more clear pressure to arrive before writing to you of these experiences. Well, that pressure has occurred this morning, and I listened to the broadcast of July 5, 2016, which is the last hour we recorded. I have recently purchased my first smartphone and have been enjoying taking pictures of the beauties that regularly grace my daily walks in Central Park in New York City, where I live. The other day, I took three photos of an astonishing cloud formation that I had noticed in the sky to the west of the field called Ship's Meadow, where I had been walking. Yesterday, I was visiting with a good friend when I decided to show her some of the photos I had been taking. When I opened to these three cloud photos, to my excitement and surprise, I saw a very distinct and beautiful blue sphere in each of these three photos that I have not seen when the photos were taken. When I saw these spheres, I had a clear inner knowing that this may very well be my first close encounter to some other friendly higher intelligence. And I was reminded of hearing Corey Good talking about his experience with what he calls the blue sphere beings. I expressed my excitement over the presence of these blue orbs in the photos with my friend, and that conversation led to another conversation about an experience I had several years ago when I had learned that my thought adjuster was of the experience, non-virgin, as Michael put it in his last broadcast, sort. I was told by a woman who seems to be in possession of the ability to tune into the thought adjuster of other people and receive information about the historical biography, so to speak, of other people's father fractal. She told me of three of several incarnations of my adjuster, one of which was in the person of someone who was very close to a teacher's son on a planet that had entered light and life, and another was as a person who lived in a culture very similar to that of our Native Americans before the European invasion. And then she ends with this last paragraph of about seven lines. So today, when I heard Michael speak of both his recent experience with the blue spheres as well as the experience nature of his thought adjuster, I felt that the time had come for me to come out of the closet, so to speak, with my latest experience of synchronicity whilst listening to Michael. As a little icing on the synchronistic cake served up as I listened, I was further tickled to hear Michael talk about smartphone technology, since I have found myself giving more thought than usual to this marvelous technology as I am experiencing these wonders for the first time recently with my new and first smartphone. And she ends with, thanks to you both for the wonderful, great work you are doing in getting these beautiful conversations out to us. Blessings from the Big Apple, signed, Dana. Thank you so much, Dana. I had to read your whole email. It was a little long, but amazing about these blue spheres. And Michael, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see them, but very interesting that these blue spheres position themselves in the darker, dense part of the cloud, so they really stand out. And the first three photographs with the skyline of Central Park, or the skyline at the edge of Manhattan from Central Park, it looks like the camera was pretty stable in one position, but the sphere moved around. Bing, bing, bing. And I'll put them on the listen page. There's three photographs that are together, and then one as of recently. It could have been today or yesterday. But there you go, Michael. More blue spheres. And, well.
Yeah, well, that's very kind of wonderful. You might say it's the beginning of a much more important development as we continue to progress toward bringing forth a lot more real-time or near real-time interaction, meaning celestial intelligence, as you might say, celestial guidance, celestial enlightenment. And in regards to the picture, the fourth one is very interesting because it does show the sphere sort of being partially behind a cloud. So it kind of tells you that it is not a, you might say, a optical illusion of the camera's lens or something, a lensing effect.
Right.
And anyway, yeah, it's just, it would be, you know, something that other people would say. But when it comes down to Dana's story about another person talking about her adjusters, that is one of the higher facts of those who are more attuned into each other. It starts sometimes from that sharing of just knowing us. In a sense, some of us have a type of adjuster entanglement or adjuster relation because it is the common fabric that builds our souls together so that we are sometimes called old souls because the adjuster does kind of reflect an experienced environment, sometimes in which we together are growing up in a location, you might say, mortal origin that is been gifted with adjuster of former experience. And sometimes, not because the mortal of their, you might say, partnership dissolved because it didn't want to go on. It's just that some places there's no fusion experience. Their adjuster is only loaned for a while. And these loaned adjusters are filled with experiences that can be continually maintained in terms of helping along another person build, you know, a truly divine soul until that point in which fusion occurs, where there is a truly developed new being. This is one of the wonderful privileges that we have here on Rancha because of Christ Michael, you see, Jesus Christ incarnation here, because he also through that allowed for the adjusters to come forth freely, not selectively, but freely to all who ready themselves in terms of their mind resonance, mind attunement to the divine will, which is to discover, first of all, the powerful gravity circuit that is in existence now, as Christ himself has attained, Jesus Christ has attained true sovereignty and applied universe gravity, which is the type of gravity that draws us to discover God, to be almost pressured into that discovery, to look for it. And that's because of what our destiny is supposed to be. And if we lose attachment to the destiny, we can become very crazy. Some people today, we have been in news and they've gone crazy, they shot a lot of people. And when a person does not have that involvement of the divine relationship. And because of that loss of involvement, they are now very alone and desperate. And because of that, they have many times chosen that pathway apart from the discovery of light and truth. And because of that lonesomeness, become extremely desperate to do something of, you might say, importance, to the point where they see it as lashing out in a violent way, violent manner. And many times the animals revert to that, but it's only reverting to that because they are desperately hungry and hurt, many times hurt. And if they don't get relieved of this hurt and pain, these kinds of things like happening in Dallas, a shooting, and down in Orlando, Florida, another shooting happened. These are people who have actually become extremely isolated in themselves. They lash on to philosophies of men or concepts of idealism, which are totally flawed and have no adjuster relationship. Although the adjuster may be screaming at the top of his lungs, you know, trying to get their attention and press them toward the right way, they've already been rejected as a voice in their lives. And it's hard, very hard for the adjuster to break through. Many times such individuals who find themselves brought back, and all who do such terrible things will find themselves brought back into a kind of solitary question environment. They look, their actions will be replayed, and their devastation actually aligned with the adjusters that are have gone through the experience of, on the other end, say, being brutally killed or murdered. Sometimes the suffering isn't as great, but many times they are allowed that. And if it happens, sometimes they will no longer want to proceed. So it's a failing destiny, in other words. And they go to the point of what is called non-existence, never have, essentially not to even be a finite creature, having a beginning and an end. Their beginning is actually wiped out. Well, in any case, the adjuster for us is very important. But in relationship with a person of an experienced adjuster, seeing these blue orbs, or not seeing the blue orbs, but later seeing them in a photograph with technology, this is a kind of a wonderful experience, because who told you to point that camera in that direction? There was something there. To me, the cloud formations look pretty ordinary, so that there must be a more important point in which to take the picture. And it was a type of guidance, you might say, non-conscious maybe, but just a guidance in a sense. The mortal core of destiny of Viracha citizens, real human beings, is ever increasing right now, because the actions of the adversarial, you might say, darkness, is, you know, coming upon the planet as many do the opposite with technology, and it becomes a tool to counter our divine destiny. And instead, we see also on our side technology being used to reinforce truth and enlightenment. So Curtis, you were going to attach these photographs.
Yeah.
And that'd be good to have them in relationship to our recent, today's podcast, as well as the last one, the fifth. Also, an important factor is that many times it has been noted for me that questions that come up in terms of the consciousness of the consciousness of the listeners are being addressed as I speak, and many times I'm not aware that they are being addressed. This is done through, again, the entanglement, or you might say the adjuster tuity between adjusters, sort of like getting a conscious revelation brought forth. So these kinds of things that have been answered by Dana or commented on and are continuing along the line. Just for your information, Dana, that those who have made comments are following along the line of becoming inducted into the core or the mortal core of destiny, and will follow, find assignment. We have Jay with Project Urantia also having functioned under pure free choice to act on the position of how he was simply guided into it, and making great contribution into the overall message. And as Curtis knows very well, this is not a way of getting funding for Curtis, for men, or myself. We barely. Curtis, thanks a lot to our friends that have been able to just make the podcast available. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's always something that you can always try to help Curtis out, because it's something that there's other costs besides just the storage. There's the fact that some of his equipment broke years ago, and yet to buy new equipment, and that's a lot of money you did just for the heck of it.
And some of the equipment I'd order and it'd be the wrong stuff, and then I'd order the right thing, and we used that for several recordings trying to, and then it went digital, and then that piece of equipment's in the drawer.
Yes, yes. So,
but that was for telephone hookup when we were taking phone calls.
Right, right.
It was a bit too much for me to do the whole thing and try and take phone calls and record at the same time. But this is better. Having email sent in, that's...
Yes, because it's
really
nice,
this last email from Dana.
Yeah, one of the things that today's major religions rely upon are text and documents and scripture, as they are called, that are thousands of years old, hundreds to thousands of years old. And this is something that is a little different because we do not only, we don't discount the Holy Scriptures, but we also have guidance from one of the highest teachers that we can get, a high Dano, who's talked about the Rancho book, the Book of Earth, available, and the announcement being that's the confirmed book that helps us understand the bigger picture. But yet, the importance of the small picture, which is our individual lives, is not ever discounted in any of the scriptures. In fact, it many times finds its position in a very important place, because each individual person, each individual personality is gifted with a uniqueness that is given from the first source and center, the source of personality, and is therefore many times brought forth in a universe, or and then of course a dwelling within the universe, which is for us is this planet. There are other dwellings that we can continue forward through, and some of them are much, much greater. They're not even within our own galaxy. They're out there in what would be called empty space. But they're on these very large spheres that were placed there and are, you know, continually growing and operating away from star clusters or galaxies or old ones or new ones. And some of these are known, and some of them are not known by name. The Iranchipuk names the capital of our local system Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is not necessarily located in close proximity to Earth. It's actually outside of our wing within our section within the Milky Way. And that's just local universe, I mean local system stuff. So pretty interesting in terms of these spheres, whether they're tiny ones like this or grand spheres of habitation. This is something that kind of points us to a higher destiny. So anyway, that's a bit of comment on what Dina was talking about.
I blew up this sphere of Dana's on my screen. Mm-hmm. And I hope to remember to post that also, but to show how round it is and consistent it is, and it is really a bright blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the first three photographs seemed, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but her camera didn't seem to deviate too much from the position it was in. The skyline is the same skyline. It may have just moved a little bit, but she wasn't really taking pictures, or didn't know she was taking pictures of the sphere. She was shooting the cloud, beautiful cloud formations. Nice clean sky in New York City. But the sphere, bing, it was here, it was there, it was over here. And it just doesn't seem that, I mean, if they were all in the same spot, then it would show it wasn't moving, but it certainly moved quite a bit in what appears to be a short duration between photographs. I didn't really find out from her how much time was spent between each one of those images, but there it is. I mean, Marcy and I saw a green shiny ball, and which appeared larger than this, but this is right in the darkest part of the densest part of the cloud, but it's not in the cloud. It has to be on our side of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It could have been, you could almost put it anywhere on the image where it was harder to see, but boy, it was like they placed it in the perfect spot where it was really dark, dense clouds behind it, where it would really show up. They wanted to be seen.
Yes, definitely. And maybe not noticed right off, but definitely looking toward it. Mm-hmm. Also, what is interesting is there is the sun behind it, the cloud. And if you were to, I'm looking at it from the side, now I look, from the looking in the upper right-hand side, you notice a cloud formation that forms a five-pointed star. It's about twice the diameter, or three times the diameter of the blue orb.
Maybe which photograph is this?
All three of them.
Oh, all three?
Yeah. And you notice that this five-pointed star looks pretty nice. It's cute. Yeah.
Where in the image is it?
Go about one-third up the image to the right. And it's,
yeah. Close where the orb is?
Okay, go. From the reference of the orb, to the top of the picture, go up halfway and go over to the right.
Oh! Oh, yes, I see it very clearly. The five-pointed star is like a lighter area.
Yeah, it's lit up by, it's being lit up, I guess, by the sun or something. But it's in all three pictures. It's cute.
It is.
It's almost like they wanted to do a little bit of artwork in the clouds.
I didn't see that, but I definitely see it now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's just another thing that happens when you take pictures and don't notice. But that's an interesting formation. Never saw that kind of five-pointed star in the clouds. I saw my family crest formed, which is three commas, by clouds, all by themselves, out in the middle of blue sky. And I said, oh, my, there you go again, you know, showing off your art skills with clouds. And it was nice. Kind of. They do things like that to, sometimes when we're not quite making a connection telepathically, want us maybe just only have us kind of point one way or look one way, or you know, if we got a camera like that, take a picture. But definitely this blue orb is just very much exactly like I said, the blue is more, you know, bluer than the blue of the sky, and it's like it has its own luminescence, its own light source. It's not a reflected image. And that's neat. It's kind of, you know, hovering there, but sort of drifting off a little bit. And as I recognized it for myself, it just sort of drifted off and it flamed out, disappeared.
Yeah, that first image is very dense, very dense blue.
Okay.
And this is really nice that they're saying hello to some of our listeners. they wanted her to see this.
It sort of celebrates a person sometimes, and it's really for Dana to understand that there is a higher call now. Almost a commission that might be coming up toward her, may not know about it yet, or maybe feeling something, who knows. But you will know. You will know, and don't rush it, because it will kind of just grow into itself. Maybe you don't even know that you were prepared for something like this. Anyway, that's how things have grown. Not everyone that has been enlightened in this sense has found themselves operating with our Hello Earth show and gone on other directions on their own, but nevertheless the contribution for divine guidance, mostly understanding that our destiny is, you know, not to just live and to die and decompose, but much higher than that, one which essentially brings a whole ascent process. And that was the purpose of our being, you might say, brought forth as living creatures on Urantia. So that's it. And you have any other comments you want to make?
About this orb? Well, this is... I mean, it was funny when I saw the skyline first. Before I even read her email, I looked at the images she sent. I looked at the skyline and go, it's a familiar skyline. It looks sort of like Central Park. And then it was. Oh, okay.
Hang on.
All right, hold on. I'm going to pause this for a second. All right, Michael's back, but he said he has another commitment to head off to. So looks like we'll have to close for now and continue next week.
Okay.
All right.
I think we all circled around Dana's stuff in her email. So thank you very much, Dana, for submitting that. And if you have any more comments, please send them in. Thank you so much.
All right.
And aloha for now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Aloha, Michael.